This will be lesson 71. How to train your spirit. You know, I was thinking about this today, and it's kind of interesting that it seems like nowadays there's something for training everything. You know, training your body, for example. I mean, you know, how do you take care of your body? You got to feed it. You got to give it food. You got to give it drink. And you've got to also give it exercise, right? Because you could have food and drink, and if you just laid in bed all day and you did that for a long enough time, you wouldn't even be able to get out and walk around, would you? Because your muscles would just kind of atrophy. And so you need food, we need drink, we need exercise. In fact, some people work out a lot to get that exercise. And then our minds, that's the other part. Remember, we're a threefold being, right? We are a spirit, we have a soul, a mind, and we live in a body. And so we take care of our body, we feed it drink, we feed it food, we exercise it, our mind, we feed it, we learn things, we teach ourselves things, we even go to school, that might be the kind of a workout that we give our minds, you know, we go into a concentrated period of trying to learn things. So we take care of our mind, but so many people, even Christians, don't realize that they have to develop and train their spirits as well if they're going to make much of the success of being a Christian. And so, the Word of God has a lot to say about how to do this. For example, did you ever notice that Jesus said, he said, man shall not live by what?
Bread alone,
but by every
word
that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God is saying here, just as your body needs food, so your spirit needs food. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. So his words are spirit, spirit food for our spirits. That's why he can say that man shall not live by bread alone. That's for your body. Everyone understood that he was preaching to. Man does not live just by bread, but by every word. If you don't have the Word of God as a Christian, you'll never be a successful Christian. Just as you'd never be a successful person if you never ate. In fact, after a while, you would even die, you know. So we need to feed our bodies. We need to feed our spirits too. And what is the food for our spirit? What did we just say? The Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And then another place, the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babies desire the what?
Milk
of the
Word.
See, God's telling us something here. Just your food and drink for your spirit, man, is the Word. Just like it is for a baby. Can you imagine what a baby would be like if it never got its milk when it was an infant? It could die. And so what God's trying to tell us, I think, through his Word here, is that just as food is necessary for the body, that same food is necessary for your spirit. It's just a different thing. It's the Word. To really get that Word in you, you need to do something that I don't hear discussed very much in Christian circles. But meditation has got such a bad name from other Eastern religions and all that people go, well, you know, meditation's a bad thing. Meditation is not a bad thing if you meditate on the right thing. If you meditate on God, if you go through the Old Testament, you find out David meditated on God when he lay in bed at night. Or if you meditate on his Word, that's the right thing to do. In fact, we're going to see tonight that it's key. Absolutely key if you want to be blessed by the Lord and you want to train your spirit and grow. So turn to Joshua chapter 1 tonight. And we've read this verse before, but I want to read it again because so many people say things that I hear them say all the time. I hear Christians say this all the time. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it just seems like I can't get ahead. It just seems like I work and I work and I work and I'm no further ahead than I was last week. Or I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm trying to make a decision. God hasn't spoken to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Or they get tired of waiting. They run off in one direction because they're tired of waiting. That's dangerous to do, by the way. God will show you what to do. He said, if any man or woman lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will always, always give liberally. Liberally means without any grudging, you know. And he upbraideth not. That means he won't do it grudgingly. He wants to lead us. But we better wait for that thing from the Lord. We better wait for his leading. Because if we just go charging off, then we're on our own. God will always be there when it's time for us to do something that's in his will. So let's read Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 here. We've read the rest of this, but I want to concentrate on verse 7 and 8 right now. Now listen. This is, you know, the background. Joshua's taking over from Moses. And God has given him some word. God's telling him exactly how he's going to lead these people and how he can do it successfully. Now listen. Only be strong and very courageous. He's talking to Joshua. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, we could say as Christians, they only had five books of the Bible then. The first five books Moses wrote, okay? And that was called the law, the Pentateuch. Now we have the new covenant that we're in, okay? So we could say, we call that the word today. So we could read it this way. Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the word. Turn not from it. Now listen to this. This is important. Don't turn from my word to the right hand or to the left. A lot of people are reading the word, but they're turning from it when it comes to crises in their lives. When it comes to daily things to do, a lot of Christians are sitting around going, oh, how am I supposed to do this? Let's see. What's that book I read, you know? I was in the airport the other day, and I picked it up, and maybe I should try that, you know? I'm not getting ahead of much in life. And I read this book on being very assertive. I guess I'll do that. Or something like that. God says in his word, if you don't turn from it to the right or to the left, you'll prosper. Listen, prosper wherever you go. Would you like to prosper in everything you do? Well, this is it. Get ready to learn how to always, wherever you go, prosper. God says there is a way to do it. All right, and he's saying, but you're going to have to be strong and courageous. Why do you have to be strong and courageous? Because when you start to observe to do the word, you're going to run into all kinds of problems. You're going to run into problems with non-Christians. You're going to run into problems with Christians that don't believe like you do. But I found over a period of a long time, it really pays to do it God's way. It really pays. Now, he says, if you promise that you won't, if you get into his word and meditate on it, day and night, that means often. When I first read this, I really took it, I did it day and night. I mean, you know, in the morning, make sure I did it every night, you know. And as I grew up a little bit in the Lord, I began to realize, he's just saying do it a lot. Do it in the daytime, do it at night, do it whenever you have a chance. And make the time, is what he's saying here. And if you do that, you see, why are we doing this? So that we can do what it says. If we don't learn what the word says, we'll never be doers of the word.
That's right.
The situation in life will come and go and beyond us before we even realize there was an opportunity there to do the word. Because it's not in first place in your mind. It's got to get in here first, then go down into your spirit and be waiting there so that when a situation arises in your life, you think, well, the word says to do this. Until you get your spirit trained to the point where you ask the question, what does the word say in life situations, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, when you're not at church, you will never be a success, and never as a Christian, and never prosper wherever you go. You want to prosper wherever you go? God's telling you exactly how to do it here. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why, Lord? So that you can observe to do what you see in there. That's what he's saying. And then, if you do this, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, here's the steps. One, get in the Word. Meditate in it. Number two, do what you see in the Word. Number three, then the prosperity comes. Then the success comes. Now, it doesn't get any simpler than this. This is very, very important. I don't know how I can emphasize it anymore. Some people just, they can hear this and it just passes off their spirit and they just go on, yeah, okay, great, you know. This is it, folks. It doesn't get any more straightforward than this. If you want to prosper in life, if you want to go somewhere where God can bless you, he's saying here, get in my word, find out what it says, and you don't get that way just by saying, oh man, I got to get my two chapters in today. Okay, I got 10 minutes here. I'll get 5 minutes. I'll read as fast as I can. That's not meditating the word. You'll never, ever get it down in your spirit to the point that when the daily things crop up, that your spirit goes, but the word says this. That's what you're after. And you get that through meditation in the Word. Notice here it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I used to think your voice won't say what the Word says, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying it'll never leave your mouth. It's always going to be in your mouth, is what it's saying. In other words, when you meditate the Word of God, the word meditate means to mutter or whisper the Word to yourself. Yes?
Yeah, when I was just Christian, you know, went to church and everything, and I just didn't really focus on it that much. I just lived my life and everything, and well, now that I've learned more about it and everything, if there's something going on and I'm going to do the wrong thing, you just feel something stab you. You just go, don't do that. That's wrong. Don't do it.
That's safety. That's good when that starts happening in you. But you know that there's things right now that are in all of our lives that it doesn't say don't do that. That's things that we shouldn't do sometimes because we've never heard the Word on that. And our spirit hasn't been trained that this is another no-no or this is another thing to do it this way. So you've learned some things. And it says the Holy Spirit brings all things into our remembrance. You have to get it in there first before He can bring it to your remembrance. Did you know that you can't have memories of things that never happened in your life? You only have memories of something that's previously happened. That's why we need to get this Word stored in our spirit so that when life situations come up, just like Seth said, when you've meditated on it, the Word comes up. What does the Word say? What does the Word say I should do here? Now I used to think when I read this, I used to think, well, he's saying here that if I will get into the Word, find out what it says, then when life situations come, don't turn to the left. I'll shade it this way a little bit, or don't turn to the right, but head it right on, do exactly what the Word said, then God will reward you and bless you. That's not what it's saying, really. It's not a reward. I used to think it was kind of a reward for being a good kid. You know what I mean? You've been a good kid, you've been learning my Word, you've been meditating my Word, and because of that, you're going to be blessed. It's not a reward. What this is far more interesting than that. What it is fitting yourself into the way things work spiritually. See, God wants to bless us. But the only way He can bless us is when we're lined up with His Word. So it's not so much a reward, is that us is moving into a position where He's able. You notice here it says that thou mayest prosper. Look here in verse 7. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper.
It's not a reward, it's a result.
It's a result, exactly. That's what my point is. This is not a reward. He's saying, you need to do this so I may prosper you, because I can't if you don't. That's what God's saying here. So you may prosper. Does everyone understand that? Because we're right here in these two verses getting down to something that's really, really important. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to sound too negative, but a large majority of Christians never get to this point. And I'm not being critical, I'm just stating a fact. And the reason they don't is because maybe no one told them, maybe they never thought about this before. But until we line up with God's Word, we're never really going to be blessed to the fullest extent. And the only way we're going to line up with God's Word is to know what it says. And the only way we're going to know what it says is to really know what it says is to meditate in it. Now let's read something. I could spend the whole time on these two verses because it's so important, but we need to move on. So here's a couple questions a person might have. How do you meditate? What do you meditate on? Well, the rest of the lesson we're going to answer those questions, all right? How do I meditate? I want to cover this section too on how to meditate fairly quickly. And I've got scriptures there that during this week I'd like you to look up because it tells how to meditate. Okay, let's answer some questions. When do I meditate in the Word? Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1:2 said do it every day. Day and night. That's what that means. Do it all the time. Make time for this. This is more important than your job. This is more important than comes before even spending time with your family. That's very important. But what I'm saying is, everything else, success in everything else in life will flow out of this. If you do this first, then success in family matters will flow out of that. Because when family situations come up, your spirit will say, what does the word say? And you'll do that, and God can bless you, and you can succeed. When business situations come up, your spirit will say, what does the word say? If you don't have that going for you, I'm telling you, the world will drown it out. TV will drown it out. Newspapers will drown it out. The internet will drown it out, because nobody, nowhere, anywhere else is saying what this says. If you're not careful, what will happen is situations will arise, hit you right in the face, say, what do I do? And then you'll hear something, well, this guy on TV said, or I read a book that said, instead of what you really want to get to the point is your spirit says, what does the word say? And you go, wait a minute. What does God's word say? When you start applying God's word and doing what it says, instead of what everybody else says, and turn not from it to the left, turn not from it to the right, then, and only then, are you going to see true success in your life. All right. Do it every day. And Psalm 63:6 says, especially when your mind and body are quiet. If you're in the middle of a busy day with kids all around you and things going on, and you're in your, if you've got a really busy job and all that, that's not a good time. You need to have your spirit, body, and soul quiet when you do this. David said in Psalm 63:6, I like to do it on my bed at night, in the night watches, he called it. And I found this to really be a good time. Like, don't just wait till night, because sometimes you're really tired. But before you go to bed sometimes, and this is a wonderful thing to do, find a scripture that deals with something you're facing in your life right now. If you've got a healing situation and a medical situation that you're standing on the word for, that's a perfect thing to meditate on when you go to night, when you go to bed. Go into bed and say, the word of God says. And just roll it around in your mind and mutter it softly to yourself. Just quietly, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And say, it says, was healed. That means God's provided for my healing. He's already, you know, let your spirit just massage this word. Himself took my infirmities, and he bore my sicknesses. These things I've been bearing all these years and putting up with, I don't have to bear. He already bore them. And begin to act on that word. Begin when those symptoms come in the day, say, what does the word say? Say, I don't have to put up with this. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you take this symptom and go. I don't have to put up with this. The word of God says that by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, I'm healed of this now. Until you start to do that, you won't succeed in those areas. Until your mind quits blocking this out and saying, yeah, but I've had this for 20 years, and I've never had, you know, if you let that tradition and you let that thing overcome the word of God, it won't do you much good. I found this out. You've got to just say, that's what the word says. If the word says it, that is true, and act on it. And then meditate it. When you wake up at night, continue where you left off. But pick a subject. If it's finances, find some subjects on that. All right. So when do you do it? Every day. Especially when your mind and body are quiet. Where? It says Isaac used to go out in the evening time by himself and meditate. I'm not going to look that up. Genesis 24:63. So what this is telling is to do it by yourself at a regular time. So do it every day when your mind and body are quiet, by yourself, and set aside a regular time every day. And then mentally say, how would I apply what I've just read to my life? What would I change? What would I do differently? And begin to, see, now you're not turning from it to the right or to the left, and God's able to bless you. All right? How do you do it? Say it quietly. You don't always have to say it, but you can say it very softly. There's something about hearing your own little voice, even quietly, say it, that builds faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It helps to hear your own voice say, I was healed. Jesus, you took my infirmity. You bore my sickness. Just do that. Why do we do it? So that we may observe to do what it says then. When the tough times come, so that we're not, you know, Jeremiah, it's by you before you realize you should have acted on it. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 7 has some interesting things about to say about something like this. It says, some people, even his children, won't see when good comes. And that's a sad thing, really. I mean, here's an opportunity. And this will sensitize your spirit, by the way. This meditating word. You learn to listen to your spirit. There's so many things that flow out of this that I just can't, I don't have time to go into them. But that's basically how to meditate. Now, here's the question that you always get. Well, my goodness, you say meditate the Word. The Word is a big subject. Where do I start? Glad you asked, because there's some things the Lord's been sharing with me that he said, yeah, that's a practical question, really. You know, it can be kind of daunting to have this whole book here and say, meditate the Word so that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Well, first of all, you need to understand this. What covenant are we living in?
New.
New covenant. Where is the new covenant in the Bible?
The Mark, Luke, and John.
Actually, the new covenant really starts with the book of Acts. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the story of Jesus' life and the things that he did. But Jesus, as you know, was operating in the old covenant. The new covenant didn't start until he rose from the dead. Everybody knows that, okay? And so the New Testament starts Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So primarily, spend your time in the New Testament, especially in the epistles, because those were books and letters written to the church of believers. These are primarily the things. Now, that doesn't mean never go back and meditate in verses in the Old Testament. That's not what I'm saying at all. There's a lot of good meditation ground in there. But primarily, you know, I'd say 90% of the time, spend your time in the epistles, in the New Testament, or the Gospels in the epistles, say. And, you know, that's only, you know, how much was it there, Steve? That's only that much. So now it's getting a little bit easier. Now, I'm not saying neglect the Old Testament. I'm just, if the Lord leads you there, great. Like we spent just some time on Joshua here. I want to call your attention to one more thing before we leave this. And that is, Joshua, you know, if you're not careful, if you don't teach this too, the enemy will come in and say, yeah, it was fine what he said about Joshua, but that was just for Joshua. Because he was speaking to Joshua. How do we know that he met us too? Well, thank God. He's got another verse in there in the Old Testament, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, that says this. Blessed is the man. You a man or woman? It means man or woman. You understand when it says man, it doesn't just mean men. It means mankind. Blessed are all men and all women whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That's what Psalm 1 says. And in his word does he meditate day and night. See? So it's not just for Joshua. It's for any man, for any woman. And then it says why you do this meditation, Psalm 1. That whatsoever he doeth may prosper. See, both cases God says, if you'll get in my word and meditate on what it says and do it, whatever you do, you'll prosper. Isn't that good news? Everything you set your hand to will succeed. Well, does that just mean any dumb thing I do, God will bless it? No. Because if you're meditating in his word, you won't be doing every dumb thing. You'll be doing the things that the word says do, and God can prosper that. Okay? So, now, here's some God-recommended topics. God gave me this week. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. These are God-recommended topics for meditation. In other words, what we're going to do for a while here, so you have no excuses, we're going to boil this down to actual specific things that I'm going to give you to meditate on, all right? So that you don't just get all the word, I don't know where to go in the word, you know, just too big an order, or forget it, you know. You're not going to have any excuses. Here's going to be some things God says to meditate on. These are the most important things, if you will. These are the things that God singles out and says, look, if you let him meditate in my word, here's the subjects I recommend for you. All right? So here they are. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 first. God's word says this. Meditate upon these things. Okay? That should get your attention. Hey, God's going to sit down here and tell us some things to meditate on. Give thyself wholly to them. Now listen. That thy profiting might appear unto all. Did you notice that every time God says meditate, in every verse in the Bible that we've covered so far that he talked about meditating, he said, do it that you might prosper. Do it that you might profit. Do it that I might bless all that you set your hand to. Do it that I might bless you wherever you go. Do you notice that? If you meditate in His Word, then you're going to become doers of the Word, and you're going to prosper in everything you do, because there is no one that is a doer of the Word and does things the way God said do them. And that's why we're getting in here meditating, that doesn't get blessed for doing it. See, the Word of God says in 1 John 5:18, it says that the wicked one can't touch us if we keep ourselves. This is how you keep yourself, people, by being doers of the Word. The wicked one can't touch you, because you've got the Word placed between you and him. It's just like when Jesus said, it is written, it is written. Your whole life becomes an it is written to Satan. He can't get through it. That's what the Bible says. Now, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Now listen. Take heed unto two things. Take heed unto yourself, and take heed unto the doctrine. Now what is the doctrine? The Word. God is saying, listen, I want you to meditate on some things here. I want you to give yourself wholly to them. That's what we've been talking about, giving yourself wholly to this. Because if you don't, you're not going to do it. But if you do it, folks, the blessings you can't imagine will be coming your way. Now listen, do it and take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Well, that fits right in with what we had before, doesn't it? And them that hear you. It won't just be a blessing for you. It will be a blessing for those around you as you begin to share with them how you got your blessing. And really, that's what I'm doing tonight. I am sharing with you something from the very bottom of my heart that has worked for me for 30 years and has prospered us, has brought us through things I don't have time to tell you about tonight. But wonderful things that God did in our lives, business-wise, primarily, and marriage, and other things, too. I could go on, but I don't have time. Now listen, he's saying, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them, and if you do this, your profiting is going to be obvious to everybody. All right? Take heed, though, to two things, yourself and to the Word. And if you do this, you'll save yourself and then they'll hear you. Now, what are these things? Well, you've got to go back up to verse 12 to where he lists those things. But I want you to know first, he says, meditate on these things. This is a list God's giving us to meditate upon. Now, listen. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, which means in your way of life, in love, in faith, and in purity. It says in the King James, in spirit, but that's not in the Greek. Verse 12. Now listen, here's the things he wants us to meditate on. I'll read it again. Be an example of the believers. He's not saying be an example to the world here. He's saying be an example of the believers. He's saying, I want you to stand out from the other believers that don't know this yet. And this is the way you do it. I want you to stand out from them in word, what you say. I want you to stand out from them in what you do. I want you to stand out from them in how you love. I want you to stand out from them in how you believe and what you believe. And I want you to stand out from them in what you are, purity. That's what you are, purity. We ought to have some lessons on purity sometimes. What is, makes something pure, unadulterated, doesn't have any of the world, any of the other junk, it's pure. Wonderful. There's a wonderful thing. It's very close to holiness, purity. All right? God says here, I want you to be an example of the believers in what you say, what you do, how you love, what you and how you believe, and what you are. Purity. All right, so there's some subjects for you to meditate on right there. We need to meditate on what we say, the power of words. That's a good subject for meditation, the power and the effect of words in our lives. So how do you do this? Now let me just tell you a practical way to do this. Let's say you decided, I want to meditate on the effect of words in my life. Well, then you'd get your concordance out, and you'd make a little list, first of all, on a piece of paper. You'd say, what are all the things that might look up in my concordance that would deal with what I say Well, it could be words would be a good one. So words would be one I could look up in my concordance. Another one would be speech. Another one would be say or something. This is what I do. And you just go through your concordance and look at verses. Now, every time somebody says say, you're not going to be interested in. But you can make a list of the ones that affect your life. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're meditating upon the effect of words on your life. And you go through your concordance on say or said, words or whatever, and you get down, and in your concordance you get to Mark 11:23. And it comes up, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." There it's mentioned three times in one verse. That would be a good candidate for meditation. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying in this verse that if you believe something in your heart and you say it with your mouth, it'll come to pass. Power of words. See, and you meditate on that. And then all of a sudden something comes up in your life later in the week or after you've done this for a couple weeks. And all of a sudden somebody says, you know, man, I'm so sick, I almost die. You know, I'm just dying, you know. You go, you say that yourself maybe. And then all of a sudden that verse that you've been meditating on comes up in your spirit. You say, you know, I've been meditating on this, and it says, if I believe this in my heart, say it by my mouth, I got to be careful here what I say. And then you read it another place in Proverbs, because you looked up tongue was one of the things you looked up in under speech. And it says the tongue of the wise is health. And you remember that. The tongue of a wise person says things, healthy things about their body. All right? Another thing I read about tongue, I remember now, death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, now as you meditate upon these things and you take your concordance over a period of time, you'll build into your spirit a knowledge that things that you say are very, very important. And you've got to be careful with your speech. And a lot of you in this room tonight are being very careful with your speech. I've heard you say, well, I don't want to say that. And you go back and correct yourself. And that's good. When you start doing that, that's starting to take effect in your life. All right, that's just one example, you know, on the words. In your behavior is the next one, conversation, the King James, but it means behavior. All of the things that the word says about behavior, you know, put off this, don't do this, it says, put off lying, put off all the things Ephesians says that we're supposed to put off lying, you know, don't quench the spirit, all these things, meditate upon behavior. Look up behavior in accordance. Look up Christian behavior. Look up and meditate on those scriptures. You getting the message here how you do this now? This will pay dividends like you cannot maybe believe at this point. But it will. This probably, what we're talking about tonight, is the most crucial thing that you'll ever hear about Christian growth. Because without it, you can't grow. This is food for your spirit. The Word of God is food for your spirit when you meditate upon it. God then, as you put this into practice, has an opportunity. You make it possible for God to get involved in your life in a way that he's never been able to before. Because you're doing his word. You've meditated in it. And see, the thing is, unless you meditate in it, you're never going to do it. That's the fact. Because it's never going to occur to you. You hear so many other things. You've meditated on so many other things. This world is so full of other voices that unless you make a conscious effort to get into God's Word and make that your priority, TV, ball games, other good things, I'm not telling you these things are wrong, they're fine, but they will overwhelm what's in here if you don't meditate on it. If you just read it every day for a couple minutes and get your two chapters in, it will never make a dent in your Christian life. See? When you got saved, something made a dent in your spirit. You heard that Jesus took your sin. That if you confess Jesus as your Lord and trust in him for your salvation, you can be saved. That got your attention. At some point in your life, you were ready to listen to that. I heard that many years before I got saved. I wasn't ready to listen yet. Finally, one day, it appealed to me that this bears some looking into. You know, I slowed down. I began to meditate on what it said and acted upon it and did it, and my whole life changed. God is telling us here that can happen in all kinds of areas. And it's just up to us to investigate these things. All right, what else? In love. Notice love's mentioned here. Agape love. What has Jesus said? A new commandment I give unto you. Commandment, the only one he left us. And that is to love one another as I have loved you. That's the biggie. Love. Meditate on love. Now here's something I like better than a concordance. You ever hear of Knave's Topical Bible? It's a wonderful book. You look up subjects and it gives you the verses all written out there. So you don't have to go look them up. Like under love. And everything about love. Things that God's love for man. Man's love for God. Christian love for other Christians. All different categories in there. And you can go through there. And you begin to meditate upon those scriptures. I put a highlight by the ones that really look interesting. And then go back and meditate on those. And you'll grow so fast in love. You won't believe it. In faith. Faith is a good one. In purity. That's a good one. Keeping yourself pure from the world, from, you know, and you got to really watch what you let yourself see. You know, you better pray about R-rated movies. I mean, that's what I learned to do. Before you go see them. I mean, are you comfortable taking the Holy Spirit with you into some of these places? You know, that'd be a purity subject. You could just do it on purity. Now, I'm spending a little time on this first, but I want you to get the idea. God's giving us some subjects here. All right, now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll get some more subjects. Now these would be scriptures to profit in life. He said, so that your profiting might appear unto all. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, some good things to meditate upon for profiting in life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 10 are some good things to meditate upon to become more like God. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says here in verse 3 that his divine power has given unto each one of us, and notice the tense of this. What is it? Past tense. God has already given us things that pertain to us having a successful life and becoming more godly. How does it come, God? Through the knowledge of him. That's called us to glory and virtue. And because of this, I've given unto you exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, you're going to find out what these are in the Word. That's where the exceeding great and precious promises are. That by these, now listen, by these promises, which we're going to read about in a second, by these things we need to meditate in, we become partakers of the divine nature. Wow. You want to become more like God? He can bless you more if you are, believe me. Then you can become partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right? All right. Now, giving all diligence, if you want to do this, if you want to be more like God, growing toward God, giving all diligence. Now, see, this all diligence simply means that you're going to have to spend some time to do this. It's not going to be just something you can read once and forget about it. Give all diligence, that would be named meditating on these things. Add to your faith some things. You notice he says add to your faith? Because every Christian already has faith. Or he wouldn't have gotten saved in the first place. Because it's by grace you were saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God so that no man should boast. So you already have faith. Now that doesn't mean you can't grow in other areas in faith and grow in faith. But he says, add to your faith virtue. That means purity, self-control, there it is again, purity. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. That means self-control. And to self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. Now we're getting there, see, becoming more like God. And to godliness, brotherly love, really, it says, phileo. And add to godliness, add phileo. That means brotherly love. And into brotherly love, add agape. That's a different type of love. That's the God kind of love that you can't have in your heart unless you're a Christian. No one but a Christian has agape love because that love is shed abroad in your heart at the new birth. Romans 5:5. So here's some subjects for meditation if you want to become more like God. What are they? Meditate on. What are they? Faith, virtue, which is purity or moral excellence, In other words, those would be the things you look up in your concordance: knowledge or wisdom, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and agape love. Notice love is here mentioned again. Notice faith is mentioned again. So we got those that must be really important. They mentioned both places. Purity is mentioned again. What else is mentioned again? Temperance? No, that wasn't mentioned in the first one. But we got some that are mentioned twice here. All right, so these are topics of meditation. These are things you could take and look in your concordance. Now, I'm just saying something. I'm not thinking about anybody in this room, but I'm saying if this lesson right now is totally boring, you're never going to make it. And I'm not saying anybody's listening that way, but I'm just saying if this was a church congregation of 500 people, the ones that thought, well, this is really boring. See, those are the people that are never going to make it, because they're never going to have the discipline to get in this Bible and say, I want to grow with God. I want to prosper in life. I want these things to become active in my life. And they won't unless I do what God says. That is called meekness. And Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, simply because he was always said to himself, God's way is best. That's what meekness is obedience to the word, submitting yourself to the word. If you look up, it's not what a lot of us think. Well, I just never want anything. I just want just a little bit, just enough to get by, and I'll be. They think that's meek. That's not meekness. That's not humility. That's selfishness, really. Because if you just want enough for yourself, what about flowing out of us to help others? What about having some money to give when someone else doesn't have any? What about being able to tell someone else how to prosper when they're not? What about being able to tell someone how to get saved? See, it's not just for me. It's to flow out of us to help other people. And see, unless you got it, you ain't going to be able to give it. You know, there's a truism. You can't give what you don't have. All right, so now one last verse here, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The reason I'm doing this is so that you're going to have some topics when we get done. When we get all done, we're going to have 13 topics here. And I thought about that. I counted them up, and I thought, there's 13 different subjects God has given us here that are really important. And I thought, you know, that goes into 52, an even number of times. Four. I said, man, and a person could go through a year. You know, people are always wanting Bible study plans. I never know where to read in the Bible. I don't know what to go, you know. And they get a Bible study plan, they start it, and they jump around, and they go through numbers, and they go through all the lists of the people who descended and begat here and begat that, and they wade through that, and they go here, and they go there, and, you know, they get some benefit from that. But this is something that will make you drop your Bible, folks. And I'm sure sort of dropped that out of, man, this is great. So, 13 goes into 52 four times. So if a person wanted to take each one of these things and meditate them on, I mean, he wants us to meditate on each one of these things for 4 weeks. My God. Well, don't. That's okay. I get excited myself. But so, well, isn't love important? Yeah, but I'm telling you, love gets hooked up with all these things. Love is hooked up with what you say. Love is hooked up with patience. Love is hooked up with long-suffering. Love is hooked up with kindness. Love is hooked up with godliness. Love is hooked up with your behavior. So even if you just spend 4 weeks on agape love, the time you get done with these 13 topics, you're going to have a lot more things on love, too. So Galatians chapter 5. All right. Verse 16. This is going to blow your socks off. This will cause your Bible just to fly up in the air and come down.
You'll never be the same.
Never be the same. And I mean, if you listen to what this says and give it the proper attention in your spirit, because your spirit, man, you mean, loves this. Mine kind of goes, oh boy. And the flesh goes, I don't like it at all. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You want to know how to get rid of some things in your life that are the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. You want to know how to walk in the Spirit? Listen up. We're going to talk about that right in here. But here is the solution for the flesh. God can work upon your spirit to the point where it takes precedence over your flesh and over your mind.
That's right.
And that's how we get rid of things that we don't like in our lives, like pornography, like being able to say no to a movie that we really shouldn't watch, like spending more time with the Lord, like things that we'd really wish we'd do but we never do because we just don't have the time. Or, gee, there's just so much in life and all this. So he's saying here, for those of you who really want to be prospered, who really want to go where I'm going, who really want to be with me in everything and know exactly what I want to do and be prospered wherever you go, this is the way you do it. For the rest of you, okay. But if you really want to, this is the way. That's what God's saying. So he's saying here that if you want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, here you do it. Now here's what the flesh lusts after. It says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. This is our spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And your spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, your flesh is fighting with your own spirit. Your spirit knows what's right. It gets in and it knows what's right. Because it's born again. It's a new man in Christ. But your flesh just doesn't make it feel good, and it doesn't really want to do it that bad. And so there's this constant war there. Should I sleep in this morning and maybe get up tomorrow morning and read my Bible? You know, there's a war there. There's a war in a lot of areas. But God's saying, that's the way it's always has been. It's the way it's always going to be. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. You want to know what the works of the flesh are? Here they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, and I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, he said in verse 18, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what he's really saying here is if you're led of the Spirit, you're going to walk in the Spirit, and if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to have to worry about obeying the law, because you'll automatically be doing it and by not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So here are some topics for meditation. Here they are, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all these things. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Let's just take one thing. How about, let's take peace. You're meditating on peace. Well, I sure like to have peace. How many people would like to have peace? Everybody would like to have peace. I mean, if there's one hallmark of 2000, in the late 90s and the 2000s, is everywhere I hear, stressed out, I'm stressed out, I'm burned out, stressed out. You hear that all the time. Okay, well, if you have peace, you're not stressed out. You're not burned out. How do you get peace? You'd meditate on a scripture like this. Do not fret, Philippians 4:6, or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's how you get it. As you meditate on that, that's one I've spent a lot of time on in bed at night. As you meditate on that, you begin to see that the fretting, the anxiety, is counterproductive to this peace. And God's saying you don't have to do it. You know you don't have to worry. If we didn't have the Lord, I don't know what else we'd do. You may as well worry because there's no way out that's feasible. But he's saying here there is another way. No fret, don't have any anxiety, because through your prayers that I hear, you know, supplication, thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and then know that I'm handling it. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and this. This is the thing that goes wacko. What am I going to do about this? What can I do? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about this? Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Doesn't mean don't think about it. It just means don't be worried about it. And do as much as you can today, and tomorrow shall take thought of itself. You begin to meditate on these things, and the cares and the stress and the things that have been bugging you begin to fall off. It really works. So here's some more topics. Well, let me just sum up and say, here are 13 topics. Love and faith were listed in all three of these places. So I consider them very important. And love even more so, because the Word of God tells us that, and these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And as you see here, mixed in all these other ones is love, is mixed in here, all through it. So there's 13 topics here. If you want to prosper, and if you want to have good success, that you might deal wisely in the affairs of life, here's a good place to start. And the reason we're meditating in the Word is what? What's the reason? Why are we doing this?
God changes. We get changed.
Does the meditation itself change you, or does something that flows out of that change us? Get to know the Lord. But what is implicit in all of this? Why are we meditating in this? That thou mightest observe to
do.
See, that's what it says back in Joshua. The whole point here is to meditate on it, is to get it in here and get it in here, so that when the situations in life come up, it comes out and you think, the Word says this. But if you don't do what the Word says, you still aren't going to prosper. Do you see that? See, this is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. It's a necessary but not sufficient condition for prospering meditation. You understand what I'm saying? But by itself, it won't get us there. It's only, notice Joshua, don't look so startled. You know, somebody looking like, what? I spent all this time talking about meditation, now he's saying it's not the final answer? No, it's not. He says you're doing this that you might observe to do what it says. See, the whole idea to meditate is the necessary condition that once done, gets the Word in your spirit, so that when the situation in life crops up, it immediately, something inside says, you need to do this if you want to do this right. And only when that thing is done, you understand what I'm saying? For example, let's say tithing. Let's say you meditate upon your life situation and your financial situation, and you come across Malachi 3:10, you come across Luke 6:38, you come across the fact you've been redeemed from the curse, and then there was poverty. You come across the blessing of Abraham in your meditations, and you see that you're blessed, and all these things, okay? And you see that giving is a large part, it's one of the necessary but not sufficient conditions to receiving financial blessing. And all of a sudden you say, aha, like I did one day, I haven't been giving. No wonder I've been praying and praying for finances. I was a new Christian, and I've shared that story with you so many times about what happened, and I was praying, and God spoke to me one morning and says, your problem is, Mike, you have insufficient funds. And I said, I know that, Lord. That's why I'm asking for money. He says, that's not what I meant. What I mean is, you don't have any money deposited with me that I can give back to you. And he led me to Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto you. And so I said, I see what you mean, Lord. I ran right out that day, got permission to Marianne, and gave away half our life savings. And the next day, we were blessed with twice as much as our house was worth. Okay. Now, what I'm saying is here, what caused me to be blessed? Was it the fact that I finally found out Luke 6:38 was true? And it says, give and it'll be given unto me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Is that what did it? No, not by itself. That was a means to an end. I needed to know that. But the end was actually doing it. See, that's the whole point of this, is to know what the Word says so we can do it. Become doers of the Word. It's just like it says in James, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, what I was just talking here about is, if I'd only stopped there, just knowing what the Word said, and didn't follow through and doing it, I was deceiving myself, because I thought just by meditating on it, something good was going to happen. And nothing's going to happen until I do it. He said, you meditate that you may observe to do. This is better than a lot of you think it is. This is really the crux of it. All right? And what I'm trying to say is that meditation, do you understand what I mean when I say meditation is a necessary, absolutely necessary, but not sufficient condition for this blessing? That simply means that it's necessary, but it isn't the final story. It's a means to an end. God told me that one time. I was sitting at my desk in my job, and I said, God, please, I see, this is what I said to God. I said, God, I see your word is so important. And I was learning to meditate his word. And I said, God, create more time somehow in the day so I have more time to get in your word. And you know what God said to me? You know, because I've told you before. He said, you're meditating in my word enough, Mike. He says, you can only meditate in my word so many hours a day. He says, but you can become a doer of my word 24 hours a day. And he showed me through that this getting in the word was a means to an end and not the end in itself. The end is to do it. That's the final thing. Because until we do it, nothing happens. Let's take Joshua, and then I'll quit. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. God gave him some specific word, didn't he? How to win that battle. Joshua must have meditated on that word because he did it exactly like God said. But let's say Joshua just heard what God said, thought about it real hard, got it down in his spirit and said, boy, that's what I need to do. If we are going to conquer Jericho, we need to get all those guys out there. We need to march around that city, and we need to do it every day, once for 6 days, and on that seventh day, we need to really get with it, and we need to march around that city 7 times, and on the 7th time, we need to blow these horns as loud as we can. And if we do that, the walls are going to fall down. Now, just because he knew that real strong in his spirit, would anything have happened?
No.
If he hadn't gone out and actually done it?
Right.
See, that's when he would have been deceiving himself if he hadn't done it. And that's what the word says. Don't just be a hearer of the word and deceive yourself, but be a doer of the word. For the ones that hears the word and doesn't do it, it's like a person that goes and looks in the mirror and says, that's the kind of man I am. That's my problem. That's what I need to do. And then goes his way, forgets what manner of man he was, and doesn't do it. But he says, in the verse 25 is the one that sticks in my heart. But the one who hears my word and does my word, this man, this woman, shall be blessed in what they do. You want to be blessed in what you do? Become a doer of the word. You want to become a doer of the word? Meditate in the word. You want to meditate in the word? Take it serious and begin to do it. There, you know, I know in my own heart, and I'm stopping right now, this is the thing that will put every one of us over. I'm not doing this perfectly. You don't get to the point where you say, well, I've arrived, you know, I've got it down now. You know, because why? TV, the world keeps coming in. It doesn't quit. It doesn't just say, you got enough of the world now. The world's shutting off out here. You got enough. No, it's coming in all the time. That's why you need the word in all the time. Okay? Father, thank you so much, Father, for putting this for us tonight. Father, I know in my heart, God, this is what you wanted tonight. I just hope I've been able to say it in a way, Father, that's affected the spirits of the people here, Father. I just ask, Father, that as these people, precious people that are here tonight, Father, that as they go their way, that you show them, Father God, how to do what I've talked about tonight. And that you show them, Father, especially how to share this with other people, Father, that may be suffering, even your own precious children, Father, that don't know where to go, that know that there's blessing out there, and they hear it in church, and they've heard it, but they don't know how to receive it for themselves, Father. Tonight's the key, Father. These people tonight have heard the steps necessary. I think, Father, in a way that you presented it, Father, that will help them to go forth and bless the world, Father, so that not only our profiting might appear unto all, but so that people that hear us might be helped, Father. I just pray that you would quicken this word to everybody's spirit that's here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Well, we left off with our lesson 71 last week, and we're going to go over the homework now. The subject matter that we're talking about is how to train our spirits. We discussed the fact that everybody knows about training their bodies and developing their bodies. We have a lot of that going on these days. Everybody knows how to train their minds. You take courses, go to school, takes correspondence courses even. I mean, if you want to learn something new, everybody knows how to train their mind, develop their mind. But you know, very few people really know how to develop their spirits. and train their spirits. And so from the Word of God that we found a four-step process that we've been discussing on how to train our spirits. Step one was, does anybody remember? Step one was to recognize the integrity that's in God's Word. Because if you don't recognize the absolute truthfulness and integrity that's in God's Word, the other three steps will never do. The second step was then to meditate in the Word. We had that last week, and that's the homework we're going to go over. Then tonight we're going to discuss the last two, which is put God's Word in first place and then do the Word. And so those four steps, as you begin to recognize the integrity of God's Word, meditate on God's Word, put it into practice, when you begin to do those things, you're training your spirit, just like you're training your body, you're training your mind. That's, God has set up His Word to be the training method for our spirits. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And He said, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so we've been discussing this. Now let's go over our homework from Lesson 71. The first question is this. God said for Joshua to meditate in the Word day and night for two main reasons. What were those reasons? Who looked this up? In the, yes, Seth, what were they?
You will do what it says.
So that you can do the work, correct. Very good. All right, so that's one of the main reasons we need to meditate the Word, so we know what to do. Right, what was it? Another one?
Success.
So that we can prosper and be successful. Because He said that if we'll meditate in His Word day and night and observe to do all that's written therein and turn not from it to the right or to the left, then we will prosper. Then we will have good success. And the Amplified Version says, deal wisely in the affairs of life. I mean, if we can deal wisely in the affairs of life, you're going to be a success. You're going to prosper. And so this applies, that's the next question. Let me just go over the next question. True or false? Blessing that comes from meditating and doing God's Word applies to us too. True or false?
True.
How do we know that? Because He was talking to Joshua in that last scripture. How do we know it applies to us too? We talked about this briefly last week.
The seed of Abraham.
Well, that's a good way to say it. We are the seed of Abraham. And Galatians chapter 3 tells us because of that we're inheritors of the blessing of Abraham, right? All right. Also, last week we talked about another place too. Does anybody remember where that was? It was Psalm chapter 1. And, I mean, first Psalm. And it was verse 1 through 3. And it said, blessed is the man who meditates in the Word. Doesn't hang around with the ungodly. And it says some other things. But meditates in the Word. And it says, he shall prosper. So when it says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the person, that applies to everyone, not just Joshua. All right. I mean, we need to know that it applies to us. I mean, you know, because if you don't know that, the enemy will come in and say, well, sure, that was in the Bible, but that was just for Joshua. Okay. In the blessing that comes from meditating the Word, is the blessing that comes from meditating the Word a reward for or a result of adjusting our ways with God's ways? Which one is it? The result of.
It puts us in a place.
It puts us in line with God's will, which is His Word. It's not just, oh, well, you're such a good little kid, you did my word, I'm going to give you a blessing. You know, like clean up your room. You know, I'll buy you a new video game or something like that. No, it's not a reward. It's just God trying to tell us this is the way my word works. This is the way my system works. If you want to be blessed, get in on the way spiritual things work. That's really what it is.
God doesn't show any partiality.
Right. He's no respecter of persons, is
right.
He? He'll treat everyone the same. Since Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates God's Word, women are left out unless they can hook up with a good man. This is simply the natural order of things.
True.
That's true. Hey, women aren't left out. I said if they hook up with a good man who's getting the blessing. They can kind of go along on the man's coattails. Men, they do it all. You know.
Is that the same as your advice,
Piper? Something like that, yeah.
Is that
50-50 deal. We will probably never meditate the word willfully and with eager anticipation unless we realize and appreciate the integrity that's in that word.
True.
That's true. And I think that's it's a missing ingredient for some folks. I see in some Christians not a lot of excitement about the word because no one's ever really told them, I don't think, that, you know, think about what this really is here, this thing we carry to church on Sundays. A lot of people have no idea that they're carrying dynamite in their hands here. I mean, this is God's word. He will never, ever, ever be caught not honoring his word. And so if you're smart, it tells me, then you'll get in there and find out what it says. Because there's a lot of if-then statements. Children, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you fit in with my ways, then I can do this. Without this, we wouldn't know. And we just stumble around like a lot of people, unfortunately, are doing. True or false? God's word says that we should meditate his word every day. True or false? True. It says we really should. Day and night.
Day and night,
right. I'll do it because it pleases God, but nothing much will happen that helps me personally.
False.
There's a blessing behind everything God asks us to do. If you're a doer of the word, get ready. You're going to be blessed. But yet I see a lot of people's attitudes are that way. Well, you know I should read the Bible, but, you know, I just don't have time. It's I should do it rather than I need to do this because it's truth is there. It's the only place truth is. And there's things in there God wants to bless me with, and I need to find out what my part is. You know, and when you begin to see it that way, it's not a chore to get up in the morning and read your Bible, meditate in your Bible. True or false? The best time to meditate God's word. Oh, no, it's not a true or false. The best time to meditate God's word is when? What?
First thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning?
When you're quiet.
When you're quiet, when you're rested. Is that what you said? Right. I mean, if we look at the examples in the Bible, we didn't get to this scripture, but it was listed last week. Isaac used to go out at sunset in the evening by himself and meditate. It says in the Bible, we covered this last week, David said, I meditate upon my bed in the night watches. That's quiet, when everything is still. When your mind and body are active, it's very difficult to receive back from the Lord. As you meditate in the Word, I find, and I think this is true for almost everybody, 99% of the time when the Lord speaks to me is either when I'm praying in the Spirit or meditating in His Word. I mean, that should tell us something. And does it mean that God is saying, oh, bless his little heart. You know, he's meditating in my word. I think I'll bless him with a little word right now. No, it's because my spirit's quiet. And I'm hooked. There's things God wants to communicate with us all the time. My spirit's quiet. I'm praying in his spirit. I'm meditating in his word. And all of a sudden I get to something that God is dealing with me about. And I'm reading the word and meditating on it. And God speaks to my heart. That's the way it works.
What's communicating with Thorpe now?
Yes, Thorpe, what is he saying? What's the Lord saying, Thorpe?
Well, he said, why did you forget your home?
The best place, we said the best time, the best place to meditate God's word is where? Well, that's sort of like what we talked about. Wherever it's private and quiet. You don't want to be trying to meditate the word when the kids are all running around in the middle of the, you know, day and stuff. Danielle, that's not a good time, is it? It's pretty hard. You have to be a special saint to meditate the word then.
No, but even when your husband's home, he begs you too. So.
Oh. Big kids bug you too, huh? True or false? One result of meditating God's word is that I will sometimes find word that proves my spouse is wrong and then see if I can find a loving way to show him or her where their life needs adjustment.
I don't think so.
Just try it.
You know, the Bible is so good. I was meditating on James chapter 1, verses 20 through 25 one time. And, you know, during that time when I was... Before I started meditating on those verses, a lot of times I was reading the Bible and I would see Marianne in the verses. I would see my kids, you know, I think, you know. And I'm just being honest with you. I'd think, well, you know, they really ought to get that straightened out or something. But You know, then all of a sudden I read James 1, 22 through 25, meditating on that, and the Lord had such a sense of humor, because as I was meditating on it, I saw that it says, be a hearer of the word, I mean a doer of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own self. So I thought, that's interesting. I meditated on that for a while, and I went on to the next verse and it says, for he that is a hearer of the word, not a doer, is like a man, person who looks in the mirror. And the Lord spoke to my heart when he said, see what that says there, mirror? Yeah. Well, when you read the word, it's supposed to be a mirror of your life, not other people's lives. When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
Me.
You. And that's what it's meant to do. That's why he says it's a mirror. He says, that's why I didn't put window in there. Look through it to somebody else. You're looking in a mirror. And you need to just look and see yourself, and you straighten up and get your life straightened out. And it was a very loving thing, and I just sort of smiled to myself and thought, boy, I really have been reading the Word more like a window than I have a mirror lately. And, you know, the Word, meditating. See, if I'd have read that really fast, I never would have gotten that. Right. You had to kind of get in there and say, now, what is a mirror? Why would he use a mirror? And that's what meditation is, get in there and say, a mirror shows back a reflection. Well, when I'm reading the Word, manner of man he is, that means the Word, he's talking about the Word here. When I read the Word, when I see things in there, I should see myself. How am I measuring up to these things? That would be a mirror. And then if I don't measure up in certain areas, I need to adjust my life in these areas. It's just a loving correction from my Heavenly Father such that I can move more effectively merge into His perfect will for my life and get my socks blessed off. I mean, you know, just bless my socks off. That's what He wants to do to every one of us, but He can't do it unless we get into His Word and become doers of the Word. And we'll talk more about that later tonight. True or false? One result of meditating... Oh, no, that's how I did that one. True or false? No, meditation is personal, and I do it so that I may observe to do what it says. True or false? True. When I meditate God's Word, I should try to compare myself with the Word standard that I see before me. And if in some way I fail to measure up, I should be strong and courageous to make whatever adjustment in my life and behavior that's necessary to meet this standard. It's a long, but it's all true. True. The word meditate includes the meaning to mutter or whisper the word softly to myself. True or false? True. The Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter. Mm-hmm. Meditating the word is impossible, because the word covers so many things. That's false, isn't it? I mean, God would never ask us to do something that's impossible. True or false? No, God has shown me areas to start with that are the most crucial. And if I set about to do this and be faithful to do this day by day, week by week, and year by year, I will train my spirit, grow spiritually, and prosper in the things of God and in the world too. True or false?
True.
True. We talked about some of those things last week, didn't we? Name a few topics that you think would be worthy of meditation.
Love and healing.
Love and healing. Those are two big ones. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. It might cause a spiritual and blessing breakthrough if I got out my concordance and begin to meditate daily on topics in God's Word that are affecting my life. True. You know, really what this is all boiling down to, you realize, don't you, that God was recommending a topical study of His Word is what it amounts to. See, when you meditate, you don't 1 minute read a verse on this thing and you try to meditate that and then jump to another subject. Find some subject in your life that you feel in your heart that God's trying to work with you in, and get out your concordance, whether it's love or healing or whatever it might be, and take a list of those scriptures and meditate on them. Take, you know, one or two a morning. Take 10 minutes per scripture at least, or something like that, to where you can really get into it. In fact, what is God saying in this scripture here? You know, so many of the things that we're spinning our wheels on in life are things that are so simple, really. If we would just think, what does God's Word have to say about this? Am I doing what it says then afterwards? If I'm not, then what would I change to do it? How would I change my life? I mean, little by little, as you do those things, you more closely align yourself with God's Word, and He'll begin to speak more clearly, more often, and you'll be blessed. remember when I started off my business, when I started off, somehow from the word get-go, I don't know how I knew this, it must have been something from the Holy Spirit, but I knew the moment I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit that this Bible was very, very special. I mean, I just knew it. I just would read it and it would just speak to me, you know, and I thought, this book is unlike any other book I've ever read. And so I could feel God speaking to my heart too and saying, read it every day. This is so important, Mike. And so I began to do that. And as I began to do that, then the Lord began to deal with me about, I shared this with you, I won't go over it again, but you're reading the Word enough, you need to now do what my Word says. And I began to do that. And then I began to get blessed. And God started moving all kinds of things in my life. He said, you know, reading the Word, it was reading the Word when He said, quit your job and go to work for yourself in your own business. It was reading the Word when, after I got into the job that I got into for life, but working in my own company, that the Lord showed me about how to get business in this company. And then He had me change the company, you know, and meditating in the Word. I got that, you know, work once. You do the work once and get paid many times, what He told me one morning. And He showed me how to switch my business from just getting paid for the work I did to working once, get something that's mine, which is the computer programs, and then everyone could buy them. And it would, you know, and I did that. I got in the software business because of that. Then He showed me, you know, one day about how to set it up so it would automatically run. When my customers had crashes they wanted me to run, I would set up whole matrix. And I would go away and let the computer run and come back and all these runs were done and I could charge them so many dollars for every run, hundreds of dollars every time it would crank these results out because it was so much better than, easier than crashing cars for the customers. And He just went on and on like this. I read in Proverbs 8 where it says, if you'll be a doer of the Word and get in His Word and get up every morning and spend time with Him, that He'll give you knowledge of witty inventions, it says. I mean, you know, God wants us to do this with all of His children. But the whole key to it is what we're talking about in these lessons. It really is. Getting into the Word. First, the first thing God dealt with me was, and this is what He did with Joshua, we were talking about, is He said, Mike, recognize the integrity that's in my Word. I mean, not in so many words, but that was basically, no, understand how important my Word is. Number two, meditate in my Word. Number three, you know, put my Word in first place. Number four, then do my Word, and then I can bless you. I mean, really, really, all of Christianity, once you're a Christian, boils down to three words. Do the Word. It really does. And you'll be blessed. But yet, how many people really know that, did you know? How many people that are Christians know other Christians are saying, you know, we just need to be doers of the Word. We need to just get in this Word and just do it, we'll be blessed. Not very many.